We're going to be in Acts chapter 11. I want to encourage you to turn there in your Bibles. I want to encourage you to, mark in your Bible. I think that's okay. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says don't mark in your Bible. So if you want to highlight a verse or something, I encourage you to do that. I want to tell you something that happened a few years ago. And let me read these first couple of verses and we'll go from there. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." And so like, this is a big deal, isn't it? And it reminded me, y'all know we do the oil change. This will be interactive tonight. I'll say various things. You respond. You remember we do the oil change. Thank you. You're awesome. Well, one year a lady called. We were doing oil change. She said, "Pastor Jamie, I don't go to your church." She goes, "But I love the oil change you do. And I'm a massage therapist. And I'd love to come and do free massages for the ladies." And I thought, that's a great idea. But I always have people come first and I have to make sure they're good at what they do. Seriously, I have no toleration for you tonight. So anyway, that's a joke. So she comes, she does free massages. I mean, it was a great day. The women, wow. Somebody has a cowbell. I've never had that happen. And so, it was just a great day. And then on Monday, I get this call. And it's from some man, and he's upset. And the secretary always will say, "Hey, so-and-so's online too, and they sound mad." And I'm like, "Is Pastor Steve not here?" And it's like, no, they want to talk to the person in charge of the oil chain. So I'm thinking it's a husband of one of the single moms. Get that? That happens every time. Some husband calls, "Y'all done messed up my wife's car." Like, why was she? Anyway, so he's all upset. And listen to this, okay? I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm going to tell you exactly what this guy said. He goes, "I got a question for you." I don't know if he talked like that, but in my mind, that's what he sounded like. And he said, "I got a question. What kind of sex shop are y'all running at that church?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Yeah, I see y'all there on Saturday, and they're doing massages." And I don't know. And he goes, "And I see all kinds of races mixing at that church." I mean, for real. I said, "What's your name?" And he hung up. And there's this thing called Star 69. And I couldn't help it. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I called him back. He had phones. I said, "This is the sex shop pastor just calling back." And I said, can you explain, what you're talking about? I said, the sex shop thing, I mean, that didn't even bother me for some reason. But I said, "What do you mean all the races mixing? What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I saw white people there and I saw black people there and they're all there together." Yeah, I don't know if it was James Earl Ray Jr. I mean, I didn't know who. And I said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" He goes, "Yes, I go to a good church." I said, "Where do you go to church?" He goes, "I'm not saying." I said, "And your church thanks you for not saying," right? And I said, "I just hate it, sir, because you're in for such a disappointment." He said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "When you get to heaven, you're going to be so disappointed. Because there ain't going to be just a bunch of white people there who look like you and think like you." Let me tell you, this is what's happening in Acts chapter 11. Here are these Jewish believers, not just Jewish believers, but circumcised Jewish believers, right? And they thought they were the true Christians. And they heard that Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius where there were, and we have to use the G word, because back then that's what we'd have called it, the G word, Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. If your hand's not up, you don't know what a Gentile is. We're all Gentiles. And they had heard that the gospel had spread to the Gentiles. And they were offended by that. And somebody probably called Peter and said, what kind of sex shop are you running in Joppa? And all these races mixing. What's going on there? And they're concerned. And so the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 11 that Peter goes back to Jerusalem. And he wants to explain it to him. And he begins by telling him the vision that God gave him. Y'all remember the vision we talked about a few weeks ago? The big sheet drops down from heaven and there's all these animals. And God says to Peter, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How many of you like bacon? How many of you like steak? How many of you like rabbit? How many of you like possum? I knew there was two of you. I just wanted to get everybody in. All right. And Peter says, oh, Lord, surely not. You know, we can't eat these things, Lord. They're impure. They're unclean. And the Lord replies, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Let me tell you what this message is about tonight. It's about several things, but I'm going to tell you, if we are going to be the people of God, we have got to get rid of our prejudices, our biases. We have to get rid of those. And listen, everybody saying amen. I mean all of them. Because when I see some people, I think some things about them, right? So do you. You know, I grew up in the North, you know, and so, you know, one of my really good friends was black. And so, you know, that was never an issue for us growing up. You know, we had plenty of friends that were black and they were talking. They tell you they had plenty of friends that are white. That wasn't an issue. But there were some issues we did have because we had this one group of people. And I mean, they had piercings everywhere. And I knew that they weren't intelligent. Because they had piercings. And if you're intelligent, you don't. Do you see where I'm going with this? Please, if you're pierced, let me finish the sermon and you understand. I'm telling you my wrong thinking. Or a ponytail. I mean, whatever it is. Ma'am, sir. I crossed the line. I admit it. It's one of my favorite people. That's why I could say that. But you know, here's the thing. We are supposed to be God's people. And the love that we have for each other is supposed to be what differentiates us from the rest of the world. Right? The way that we love each other. And so that these Jewish Christians would love these Gentiles just would blow the world away. Hey, wait, what's going on here? This isn't supposed to be happening. And God commands us to love each other in that kind of a way. Listen, because God, all his commands are for an end. And that end is so that God will use that so the gospel will be spread, that hearts would be open, that we would love each other like that. Right? And I'm telling you, as the church in America, we have failed miserably to love each other like that. Because we still love with earthly boundaries. We still love with earthly boundaries. Whatever your boundary may be, your boundary tonight, it may be racial. And I'm going to tell you, you better repent. Your boundary may be political. You better repent. In case you don't know and you're really into politics, and first of all, I love politics. Probably 20% of the books in my office are political books, all right? If you saw my books, you would see where I lean, right? Or left. I meant right. Like, do you understand, right? I remember these ladies at my last church. They said, now, Pastor Jamie, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And I said, oh, I just vote for the best person. And they said, he's a Republican. Whatever that boundary is, whatever it is, some of you have a problem with poor people. Some of you have a problem with rich people, right? Some of you have a problem with people that are overweight. Fat people are good people. I'm just telling you right now. They're good people. Talking about you, sir. But here's the thing. All these commands. I mean, listen, Acts 11 is powerful because this was overcoming one of the greatest boundaries that had been set for thousands of years. Because at one time it was said, don't even bother with the Gentiles. Because at that time, God was preparing the Jewish people to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And God was doing such a thing among the Jewish people that he used that to open the hearts of the Gentiles. And finally, the gospel comes to the Gentiles and they are excited about the gospel. They are excited that the Messiah has come and it changed the way that they live. And I wanted to preach all of chapter 11. There's no way, because what's happening here is unprecedented. It's one of the most unbelievable moments in church history as these Gentiles come to faith. And you know what God teaches us some 2,000 years later? That he can save anybody. He can save anybody. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in a little town called Morrow, Ohio, right? Morrow. Anybody heard of Morrow? You been to Morrow? Really? Cincinnati, yeah. So you know where Morrow is. So it's a great little town. It's got a big sign as you drive in town. It says, "Welcome to Morrow today." I didn't say it was a smart town. I just said it was a cool little town, all right? And there was this guy, because I could take this path down from my house and go to the candy store. And I'm telling you, if I had a nickel, I went to the candy store because Chico sticks were 5 cents. Can I hear it for a Chico stick? All right. You remember? They're huge, right? I'd get anyway. So, God loves fat people. Remember that. So, but there was this guy in our town, and there were only a few people in our town that had tattoos. I'm not harping on tattoos. Some of you are like, oh gosh, here we go again. Drop it already. Yeah, I mean, it's you. You're right there. And this guy had tattoos everywhere, born, but he always had this big boa constrictor around his neck. And I was scared to death of this guy. I just remember all my life as a kid. And I remember one time being in that store getting a Chico stick because I broke it when he walked in because I was so scared. And I didn't know whether to cry because he was about to abduct me or I broke my Chico stick. But I remember I ran behind the counter. I was just scared to death. You know, because he had tattoos and he wore a white tank top, which I know now is appropriate sleep attire. And I remember years later going back and seeing that guy. He still had the snake. He still had his white tank top on. But I wasn't afraid of him anymore. First of all, I realized, you know, I was like 6 inches taller than him, right? And I don't know, something in me, there was still just a little fear, but I just wanted to say hi because I was afraid of him my whole life. And I was like, hey, what's up, man? And I'll never forget as long as I live him saying, man, I'm just doing really good. It's good to see you. Didn't you grow up here? And I was like, are you kidding me? I could have whooped you when I was 8. And I was afraid. I remember in our church that I grew up in a little traditional church, right? And back in the 70s and the 80s, you know, and no doubt, I mean, the 80s was the greatest decade of all time. Amen. Okay. And so in this little church, you know, everybody came in and everybody had on suits and ties. And, you know, the ladies were all in dresses down to their ankles and wore stuff around their neck. I mean, you know, and the hair went like all the way up. Like I remember sitting down saying, I'm in front of Nancy again. I can't see a thing, including the chandeliers. I mean, that thing just went all the way up, you know. I remember a couple calling me one time. I was a youth pastor, and I'd had their daughter in a youth group. She'd gone away to college. And I'm gonna tell this story as vaguely as I can, okay? But she started dating a guy who didn't look like their family, all right? The parents were very concerned. And they called me, and they were troubled and said, our daughter is dating a man who doesn't look like us. And they said, can you call her or try to talk some sense into her? And I was confused. I said, what's wrong with, you know, is he a Christian? They're like, we don't know. And I'm like, wouldn't that be his biggest issue if he's a Christian? Because wouldn't the most important thing for your daughter to be that she would be with a godly man, no matter what his skin looks like? This is exactly what I imagined it would be tonight. It's a little tense right now. It's a little heavy. Many of you are saying yes because you know you're supposed to say yes. You're saying amen because you're so nervous you're afraid you may say something else. Amen. But wouldn't that be the most important thing? The heart of that person? I don't pray for the skin color of my kids' future spouses. I pray for their hearts. I pray that my daughters would marry godly men who would treat them better than their mother's been treated. Seriously. I pray for my sons that they would marry women who are following after Jesus. That's the most important thing. But I'm telling you, the church hasn't presented itself that way in America. And it's a deep issue. And it's important. And listen, let me tell you, it is a godly issue. Because it's the love that we'll have for each other in spite of whoever you vote for president. In spite of what color you are. In spite of all those things, that we would have a love for each other that the world would say, that's weird. Because you know when you're doing good. Do you know when you're doing good? When somebody calls a church and wants to know what kind of sex shop you're running. Then you know that you are building the kingdom. And we've got to take that seriously, man. And we've got to teach our children that. Because I'm afraid what our children in America are learning, and it's not so much against anybody else, but we're teaching our children what makes you important is what kind of shoes you wear and what kind of clothes you wear and what your hair looks like. And everything we're teaching our kids is to polish the outside of the cup. And I'm telling you, our children, many of them, they're rotting inside because we haven't cared near about what's inside of them as we have of what's on the outside. And let me tell you this. And I say this as a parent who struggles with that, right? What God has entrusted me with those kids, is what their hearts look like. Not what kind of clothes they wear. Not what kind of crowd they run with. You know, I worry about that sometime. You know, I asked my son yesterday, somebody else should be preaching, I'm telling you. Yesterday, I asked my son, he goes to Drake's Creek. I said, so son, at Drake's Creek, are there like when I was in high school, we had different groups. We had the jocks, you know, we had the nerds and, you know, we had the cool people. And, you know, this is my group and we, you know. I said, because you know where I'm really going with this line of questioning with my son. I want to know what group he thinks he's in. You know, because I'm thinking he's kind of like me, so he's got to be in the cool group or the athletic group. Seriously, that's it. No more chances. Or he's like me. He could be in the smart group too, right? Because I thought I was in all the groups. And you know what I've learned about the kids who think they're in all the groups? They aren't in none. I'm cool. No, you're not. And you know what I learned, seriously? That's the group I want to be in. Of those who aren't in the groups. I'm getting off my story. So I wanted to know. Because I want to know how people perceive my son. Because I hope, you know, I hope the other kids think my son's cool, and I hope they think he's athletic. I mean, he's like, you know, 4'10", 60 pounds. He's a beast at 14. right? He's met third graders and he says, "Hey, I'm Sam. I don't know what y'all are feeding your kids, but I want some," right? I would comment, but it's 7:17, so I'm just going to go on. Because I get caught up in that. I get caught up in that. Yeah, I pick my son up at school, and you know, whatever school your kids go to, there's usually a big circle and a big line, and your kid comes, and you know, my son opens a door, and gosh, 1,000 things fall out. I don't know, I have no idea why you amen that, but, and I'm just embarrassed, you know. My car got hit several months ago, I haven't got it fixed, so the back end is just like hanging down, you know. The handle doesn't work, so I roll the window down, open it up, and it's always embarrassing. Somebody's coming over. I'm like, "Hey, hang on. I'm trying to get the window down." "Hey. Yeah, they're new. They make them like this now." And all these things I worry about, and not one of them are the things that God said we should be concerned about. Just don't look at the outside. Don't look at the outside. That's what man looks at. Look at the heart. Because that's what matters. God changes hearts. And we spend our lives polishing the outside of our cups. How come? Why do we do that? To who? Because I want everybody else to see how shiny my cup is. I want everybody else to think that my life is great. I want everybody to think my marriage is perfect. I'm Pastor Jamie. I'm the greatest husband in the world, right? My wife still asks me, "What in the world do you tell couples that are struggling?" I was like, "You'll never know unless you make an appointment." Because I just want everybody to know that I've got it all together, when you know what I know? Man, it is crumbling down, every bit of it, right? Because the harder I work to make the outside look good, God just lets it continue to crumble till I will start being concerned about the inside. And I'm going to tell you something right now, because everybody that comes to my office that I counsel with, they think they're the only ones. They think they're the only ones. Couples come and they think they're the only ones struggling. You know, people come in and, you know, they had surgery, and man, through that surgery, they get hooked on prescription drugs and they think they're the only one. You know why they think that? Because that's what Satan wants you to think. That you're the only one. Nobody else. Don't go to church. You're not like those people. You're bad. And you know what the good news is? I'm not about to tell you those people are good. I'm telling you, we're all bad. Oh, if y'all knew what I thought, you'd never come back on a Wednesday night. And I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you'll hear this. Those people you see with those big, beautiful, shiny cups, and it looks like everything's all together. Let me tell you something about their cup. It looks good, but you'd never want to drink out of it. It's the inside that matters. And nobody can see the inside except God. So I got these four kids. And I'm trying to teach them in this materialistic world that it's what's on the inside that matters. Because it's what's on the inside that lasts. Few people had more stuff and more money than Steve Jobs. And I don't know if you noticed, he didn't take a bit of it with him. It's the inside that matters. And these Jewish Christians were concerned that the gospel had gone to a group of people that they weren't even willing to speak to. And this powerful thing happens. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Who was I to think that I could oppose God? And the Bible says when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. It is one of the things that I love about this church. I'm not saying we've got it down. Listen, we've got a way to go and a way to grow. But it's one of the things that I love. Man, you can walk in here in shorts and a t-shirt and nobody would think twice about it. You could walk in here the week after your picture was in the new local newspaper for some horrible thing you did. I don't want to say nobody would think twice about it, but most people here wouldn't think twice about it. They would praise God you were here. I'm thankful that people see all kinds of races mixing, whatever that means. I'm glad they see it here because it is what heaven will look like. And so even in this act of admonishment, of thankfulness and gratitude for most of your hearts when it comes to those kind of things, the truth is, many of us still struggle, wasting so much time shining the outside of that cup. I remember somebody came to our house one day, and it was an unexpected visitor. I don't know what your house looks like all the time, but I know what mine looks like all the time. Clean for us is if you can open the back door halfway. Some of you have been to my house, and you know I'm telling the truth. And I remember this lady coming to the house, and she'd been struggling. She wanted to come and talk to my wife and just be encouraged. And she wasn't in the house 5 or 10 minutes, and we hadn't even spoke a word of encouragement yet. And she said, I'm just going to be honest, y'all. I'm already encouraged. And we were thinking, God just exudes off of us so much. I mean, I hadn't spoken yet, and I'm thinking, that's powerful. She says, I'm just encouraged because your house is such a mess. It makes me feel like I'm not doing that bad as I thought I was. Me and my wife just looked at her and said, we're glad we can be a blessing. I promise you, it's not about the outside of the cup. The gospel is about changing our hearts. And when your heart is changed, your attitude towards others is changed. And I'm going to tell you, we are called to love each other. To love each other. Tyrone sitting right down here in front row. Tyrone, I can't even tell you how many times I'm in town and people come up to me and say, Tyrone, Tyrone. They think I'm you. And but we love each other. We're brothers. We're going to have a time of altar. I want to invite you to come. But listen, I want to ask you to come honestly to this altar tonight. Because for me, of all the issues I've talked about, by far the issue I struggle with the most is the outside of my cup. Because I do so much in spite of everything I tell you about my life. I just want people to think I've got it all together. And I so don't. But I worry about it. And I worry more about the outside of that cup than I do the inside. And I feel pretty confident to tell you that God pretty much could care less about the outside of your cup. He cares about the inside. And that's what he's committed to change. And obviously that has outside ramifications. But it's typically not in how we look, but it's in how we love. And I've been guilty of not loving. And I've been guilty of just a brutal pride. A brutal pride that takes delight in the struggles of others. Because I think it makes me look better. Oh, it's a brutal pride. And you know, we don't speak those things. But man, we think them. Jesus, we come to you tonight. Lord, I pray we come with honest hearts. And even as I preach, I think about if my kids understand that it's about their hearts, it's about the inside. If my neighbors understand that it's about the inside. Oh Lord, I pray that we would love each other with an agape love, a godlike love. A love that surpasses all barriers and all our biases and all our prejudices. And I pray that the world would see us love each other like that. But Lord, we confess to you tonight that we've worked so hard to polish the outside of that cup, but you can't even drink from it because it's so rotten on the inside. So Lord, here is our hearts. I pray you would change us. I pray you would make us more like you. We love you, Jesus. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.